Coming to you from Redondo Beach, California and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is a show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 12 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my co-host here, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
I saw that coming. Actually, this may sound slightly different audio-wise. Maybe better, because we are live in person together in a hotel room in Arizona.
That's right. Yes, we've got a hotel room together.
We have stepped it up. and we have an audience as well. So if somebody in the audience wants to say hi, go ahead and say hi.
Hello.
That's awesome. The reason we are in a hotel room is because we are finishing up our excursion at Pressnomics.
That's right. I've never recorded a podcast in a hotel room. This is kind of cool.
Okay,
I have. In my office.
Yeah. I've actually recorded recorded an episode of Kitchen Sink about 2 hours ago in this exact same hotel room.
No kidding.
No kidding.
You don't say. Kitchen Sink. I love that show.
Isn't that a great show?
You guys should listen to that show.
It's a good show.
It is. Do you have a favorite hotel movie?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Shining?
The Shining, yeah. It's a classic.
It is.
You really think about it when you're going down the halls.
I'm thinking, what other hotel movies are there?
The Home Alone 2.
Oh, what about Home Alone? Never saw it.
No?
No.
Did you ever see... You never saw it?
Not 2.
No?
I didn't want to ruin it.
Did you see it, Adam? The second Home Alone movie?
I did.
Well, yeah. Just you said, did you see it, Adam? And people might be confused. So Our audience is another Adam. It's Adam Warner from Sitelock. So that's just to clear that up.
Okay. There's a funny part in the second Home Alone movie where... Macaulay Culkin is leaving the hotel and he asks for directions. And do you know who gives him directions?
Mr. Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump. Who at the time in the early 90s had just purchased the hotel and he made a cameo in the movie.
Lovely.
Yeah.
The show has gone that far down the tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
The Grand have you ever seen Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. I've seen parts of it. Oh, I know. I have a favorite hotel movie. The one with Queen Latifah. Where she has a brain tumor, but it's not a brain tumor. What's that called? I'm going to look it up real quick.
I don't know. The butterfly effect?
No. Queen Latifah hotel movies. it's called Last Holiday.
Last Holiday.
Love that movie.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
I'll check it out.
It's a good movie.
And you watch all of Grand Budapest Hotel.
I will.
All right.
I'll let you know how it goes next time.
There you go.
All right, so moving along here. So Pressnomics, I guess that's what we're doing this, that we did the last 3 days.
Yes, the fifth annual Pressnomics,
right.
Second time for me, first time for you.
Right.
It's an amazing conference. This, for those who've never attended, it's a conference oriented around the business of the economics of WordPress.
Right.
People present here, primarily heavily invested in WordPress, or running businesses or participating in full-time in businesses that are all or mostly based around WordPress.
Right. Have you enjoyed your stay here?
It's been a blast.
Right.
Absolutely.
And this is the first time you came as... a full-time employee of a business in the economics of WordPress.
That is right. On Monday this week, I started my full-time job at Sand Hills Development, working on Easy Digital Downloads.
With Pippin and crew.
Yeah. So I put in 2 full days of work, and then I came to Pressnomics.
Awesome.
So not much of a big change yet.
Right on. Okay. And still find it valuable? I mean, any differences between last year and this year?
You know, Pressnomics, I didn't come to the first 3, but after the 3rd one, I was reading people's reviews, and I just said, I can't be missing this anymore. I've just got to be there. And so I came last year, and it was amazing. Came again this year, equally amazing.
It was so amazing that you were coming last year. You actually did a rap that you sent me.
Oh.
I might put that in the show notes. I'm going to put that at the end of this.
We'll talk about that.
And a link to the video, the little video that I created on top of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's going in.
You're going to troll me.
I'm going to troll. That's going in. That's going to be the thing.
It might not be necessary.
Oh, it's in. All right.
This year's been good.
It was amazing.
I feel like, Josh and Sally from Pagely, you put this together, just found a really good template. And it just works. What they've got here, the venue is perfect for the setup. And they consistently get really compelling presentations, and somehow they're connected with the right people. All the people that matter are here.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. And those are strong words. And I'm going to say that you're right. The presentations were awesome, and a few stood out to me. And I like the fact that they added Flash Docs, which enabled the fact that you spoke this year.
Yeah, I was quite surprised to be selected for this. Yeah. I wasn't considering myself someone who maybe was would be on the radar, but I threw in the lightning talk idea just for the heck of it.
It was very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I honestly, it was. I have at the moment no constructive criticism because of Aaron Jordan.
You usually do.
I know. And Aaron Jordan suggested that we give criticisms or in a certain way. So let me know how you want feedback if you want feedback. So anyway, it was good. It was good talk. Good.
I got some good compliments. Yeah. Some things that kind of floored me. Scott Bollinger went after me and he had some good things to say. He called me Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins, yeah, because you were like so energetic. Yeah. It was good. All right.
I loved Carthy from Cyberchimps called you out and his talk, you and Betsy, like, hey, let's clap for the couple back then.
Well, because something about, do you feel, I forget what we were doing something. Yeah, I don't know.
He was asking a question to the audience and you were sitting next to Betsy and he made a comment about you being the cute couple back there or something.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was
awkward.
Hilarious.
Okay. Cool. All right. So, but if you haven't been to Pressonomics, if you're into the business of WordPress, it's definitely worth the investment. It's not a WordCamp. It's, you know, it's leveling up your business in the WordPress space.
It's completely different. There are no beginners here.
Right.
There is no one here who's just like feeling out the waters or learning. Everyone here is like all in.
And it's because there's a cost difference. It's a Thursday, Friday. Well, it's like a Wednesday afternoon, but Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday event if you want to go golfing and do something else networking wise. Right. A lot of events every night. Yeah. And there's one track per day. So it's a single track each day, the Thursday and Friday. So you just go one after the other, there's breaks. And it's like, it's five times the cost. Or 10, is it 10 times the cost? What's the math there? Normally a WordCamp is usually $40. This was what, minimum 500?
I think it was like $450
So. So there's a definite investment there.
Yeah.
And you're during the week, so you're away from your potential company working. Right.
So, and it's here in Tempe, in Arizona. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yeah, okay. Cool. All right. Well, I suggest people come next year if it makes sense to make the investment.
You should.
Yeah. All right. What are you wearing? What are you drinking these days? So we're in a room together. We can actually clink.
Yeah.
See this? There we go. So we are actually drinking and sharing an Izzy sparkling blackberry beverage.
Yeah.
Because I had it from the event. So
it's pretty tasty.
It is.
It's pretty tasty. Could be colder, but it's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Refreshing. All right. And what are you wearing?
I'm sporting a brand new, this is not actually new, Paisley t-shirt.
Is it clean?
It is clean.
Okay.
Brought it from home. Paisley t-shirt. It looks good. And I'm wearing my SiteGround hat.
Nice. I'm wearing a purple Woo Commerce Ninja t-shirt.
Right.
And I have a shirt for you, by the way, in my bag.
Oh, right.
I brought it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Thank
sure.
you for that.
All right.
I've got my WP Engine sunglasses, too.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can never rep just one hosting company.
Right. You're like the NASCAR of of podcast hosts. You're like, oh, you're branded out.
I guess so. I'm just a big fan.
You're a big fan. Big fan. Huge.
Huge.
Huge. All right. Hey, Kyle.
What is it, Adam?
Guess what?
Tell me.
It's questions time. And insert sound effect here. Dun, 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 dun. I don't have my entire rig to do all the sound effects. So we're skipping that right now. But it's questions time.
Here we go.
Okay, you ready? So I'm going to ask you the first one here.
Hit me.
All right. This is sent in by Eric. As a developer, are you helping or hurting customers when you use page builders to create the site? Does it depend on the builder?
Page builders. Man, this is a hot topic.
It is.
Page builders. Like, there are so many page builders these days. It's crazy. Every time I go to WordCamp, I come across a new page builder that I've never heard of before. But that aside, to answer the question, I think it's important for us to understand what this is like, to give powerful tools to our clients like that. What I like to think of it is like children. Your clients are really like children. They're like babies, basically. And if you were to put children in a kitchen and say, here's all the sharp knives and all the pots and pans and all the ingredients and start making some meals, you know, you will get, you know, varied results. Maybe don't set your expectations terribly high. Don't be surprised if you sit down at the dinner table and are served something like ice cream covered ham and jello sandwiches or apple bologna spaghetti soup or something of that nature. Clients are the same way.
Wow.
They're like children in a kitchen. They don't have the experience. They don't understand the principles of user experience and design. They don't know when it's too much, like adding too much salt to a meal, or what is too much. What's too many slides in a slider?
Like this answer. I'm just saying, call it like I see it.
Tell me what you think about the question.
As a recovering backseat driver, a Monday morning quarterback, and someone who knows lots of doctors, My goal is never to question those in charge, second guess what could have been, or hurt people physically or emotionally. Okay, so I have to disqualify myself from the question.
See? Great. That's the best answer you've ever given.
And of course, my other option for this would be, it depends on the builder, of course, and the client. It really does. Yes, there are some terrible page builders out there that are bloated, have bad code bases, difficult to work with, tough to modify, and impossible to customize.
Visual Composer.
I'm sorry. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that said, of course, then of course, it depends on the end user. How comfortable are they in the technology? You know, I've been a page builder fan for many years. I've switched from one that's no longer really supported anymore to a new one, and I'm good with it. And for my client base and what I do, it works for them. So it just, again, it's the standard answer in the WordPress space. It depends.
It totally does. To each his own. Right. I mean, some people do weird things. Some people watch reality television and stuff like that. There's something for everybody. And I don't know. It's important to remember that clients just, they don't have the experience that we do. And if you empower them, if they're savvy, if they know what they're doing, it can be extremely beneficial to give them these tools and let them, on their own, use a page builder to just extend their site, customize it, just do cool things. But a lot of clients, you give them those tools and they will make a monster.
Right. Absolutely. And ideally hope add a flashing GIF.
Yeah.
So
you just can't put anything past them.
Right. You never know. You never know. So it depends. I think the answer is, I don't think it's hurting all clients. I think it can hurt some. I hope that answers the question from my point of view.
And page builders are getting better.
Yeah.
So the future, I mean, things will be a little bit different in the future. There was a time probably years ago where they would have said, don't even give them a content management system or anything.
Right.
I don't know.
The world is flat. So is your website.
We'll see where things go. Right. But I expect as time goes on,
and
more unskilled people will be empowered with.
And if they want some more in-depth research on page builders, I'm going to recommend an article written by your boss.
Exactly.
30,000 words, right. I believe. Pippin wrote an extensive...
30,000?
I know, seriously. I think it's...
I thought it was maybe an 8,000 word post
no,
or something.
No, whatever. It's a very large number of posts. It's huge.
It was huge. That's got to stop.
It's got to stop. Okay, moving on. Question 2. Hit me.
All right. This question comes to us from Steve Bennett, who asked us in Slack. When is it okay to let a client use a pre-canned theme?
When is it okay? Well, it's only okay, in my opinion, if I can use a pre-canned answers for all client communications, every engagement. And actually, not even that, but even have it set up as a bot. So they send me an email, it goes to a service that I have, and they just get an auto reply. Done.
Okay.
Otherwise, everything is going to be just a waste of my time.
No, that's fair.
That's my first option.
That's fair.
You go with your first option.
Well, I think if you're in that classic situation where, and we often find ourselves in this situation, but if you are, where you are secretly attempting to bring down a client's business by posing as an affordable web consultant, simple tricks like not setting up backups, not hiring SiteLock, using a shoddy pre-made theme, especially one of those that's no longer supported and documented, these can be surefire ways to really, kind of screw the client in the future.
Okay. Yeah. That's an option. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to add to that. I'm actually okay with pre-canned themes. I am. As long as there's decent extendability, like literally what you just said, assuming they need that, customizing certain elements, otherwise it's an exercise in futility. If a client's using a pre-canned theme, then what do they need me for? The goal is I need to bring value in some capacity. I mean, yes, I want to make a living. I want to charge them, but it really needs to make sense. Ironically enough, I have a client most recently. They have a super old theme, two sites. They spend more money in the long run. For whatever reason, they don't want to wait to save up the money to have me rebuild the site. And that's frustrating. It is very frustrating because their theme isn't supported anymore. Taking the time to research the plugins, the things that will make what they want done,
mm-hmm.
seems to be wasteful.
Right.
It's becoming an exercise in futility, and it's a problem. But because I want to provide value. At the end of the day, I want to provide value and feed my family. Right.
Right.
So there's that balance.
Again,
it just depends. A pre-canned theme is fine. But then they may not need me. It may not be my client then. That's how I see it.
I agree with you.
And you're out of the agency world, so yeah. you can care less.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our customers use premium right. themes. That's definitely the lion's share of our customer segment. But I do think it's super important to remember that there's great pre-made themes and there's crap pre-made themes.
Right.
Just
right.
like there's great custom themes mm-hmm. and there's absolute garbage custom themes.
And plugins.
Like, yes,
sorry,
exactly.
Sorry, did I steal your thunder?
but this has been my experience. Years of clients coming to me and say, you know, opening up the door and saying, here's what I've got. And I walk in, and sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised and say somebody did their good work here, or they did get a theme that is quite reputable. More often than not, I find something that...
Have you ever found this? When you were doing agency work, have you ever found a theme that was being used that was pitched by a previous developer? And I use developer in air quotes, those who can't see me. Everyone who can't see me. It's an audio show. They picked a theme to fill a need. But obviously, it was the theme was for a certain segment, a certain market. For example,
right.
I know I picked up a client, it was a law firm. The previous developer used a church theme.
Right.
So there was a ton of custom post types. And the reason they use it is because it had the built-in custom post type for staff. That's why. The sermons weren't being used, and they used sermons in a different way. Right. But they didn't even go into it, even change the custom post types. They could have gone into that theme and changed some of the functionality, the words. And the client was super. The lawyers were super confused. I mean,
right.
they're smart in one aspect, but not so. But they're not faith based. These lawyers,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that was always frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Somebody who it's like round hole, square peg.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I see it all the time.
Yeah. I don't get that mentality. I would never do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's so many projects that I walk into where the site is put together, you know, in an odd way, and it's very clear that tools are not being used for what they were designed to do.
Right.
And that's like a really important lesson that. I've been preaching a lot about that really just use the tools for what they're designed to do. If you're making a membership site, use a membership plugin.
Right.
Don't try to use an e-commerce plugin.
Right.
Just these classic examples. And don't use a church theme for a lawyer's site, even though in many cases you can get by. That's the thing. You can make them work.
Well, right. It was kind of not duct taping it together, but... The developer didn't know any other way to do something to get the function. He pitched
right.
X functionality, but didn't know how to do it. So he found something that could substitute in for it, and then spoke a good game, sold them.
Right.
Right. That's just weird. Anyway,
if you're in that situation where you have a site and you have to have like your own unique processes documented, like I'll go and somewhere they'll say we have this little guide we wrote up where. We explain to new people, if they log into the site and you want to publish a such and such, you have to go to this area because it's not intuitive.
Right.
It won't be clear.
Right.
We're using the sermon post type for our news
right.
or something. If you're in that situation, quit.
Seek help.
I don't know.
Or if
get
in this
help.
Case,
come to your meetup and we will help you.
Or in this case, it's a law office. Maybe review the contract you signed.
Right.
And fire them.
Yeah,
sue them.
Seek litigation.
Seek
here.
Litigation.
Right.
Get your money back. Okay. All right. I think we answered the question well enough. Pre-cans can work. They can't work. It's just right tool, right project.
Be aware of who's going to be working on this
right.
site, too.
Right.
If it's going to be you maintaining it or the client, that impacts the decision.
Absolutely. All right. Third and final question here I'm going to ask you. Client wants a super... Oh, it was sent in by Peter Shackelford over in Slack. The client wants a super fast site, but has very image-heavy content. How do you communicate to them the challenges and how do you make it fast?
Have you ever seen the movie Clockwork Orange?
I have.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah, you know that great scene where they've got the guy strapped down with like his eyes held open
yeah.
with a little machine and they're showing the video. Like if you want to teach these principles to a client, yeah, sometimes you just got to shut them up, strap them down and put them through a rigorous program of therapy and get them to understand the principles we accept and live by.
Okay.
It's pretty serious sometimes.
Yeah.
But
okay.
they will resist.
Again.
Just be firm.
Again, that's an option. My option is how would I communicate with them and challenges. I'm fairly comfortable in English, so I would start just speaking to them in English.
Good point.
Thanks.
Good point, yeah.
And I would make all the images 100 by 100 pixels and 72 DPI. Done.
Wow.
They didn't say they needed to be legible.
Okay.
Crisp and large.
That's true. That's true. You're following the letter of the law.
That's the scope of work.
Yeah.
They need to be clear. Yeah. They want a fast sight. They didn't say a good-looking sight.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you can't have everything.
Have you ever noticed how good the images are on Craigslist? On that homepage?
Oh, it's staggering.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, they're so small, you don't even see them. But truthfully, how do you communicate it? It's a tough one. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, it's a matter of just education.
Yeah.
Optimize images. And I think that I didn't show you. So at this trip during Prestonomics, I was consulting on a client site. I checked it. They launched it with another developer, but I've been off book consultant. The owner of the site doesn't like the dev. And the site has an F on both YSlow and GT metrics. Two Fs, literally.
Yeah.
Site load time was 22 seconds, 12 and a half megs on the main page. Guarantee you it's image heavy. No caching, image heavy. Nothing's been optimized. Wow. So you communicate it by the fact that images have to be optimized for the web.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to do. And don't do it after that. I mean, I emailed the client, the owner of the site, because I'm like, I see the site went live, congratulations, but it's receiving really poor scoring and rankings because of the speed.
Mm.
So again, I wrote that in English, and I was honest about it. And I gave him some solutions. If you want some help, here's what you need to do. I think I might get that job next week is to help optimize that site.
Right.
So. I mean, yeah, it's a matter of, for image heavy sites, you need to be smart about the uses of them. And simple. From my perspective, it's a simple solution: optimize images.
Right. Yeah, it's a good solution. There's a lot of misconceptions, and clients understandably don't have a good perspective on what impact everything has on site performance. Images are huge, and we need to express that to client.
I'm not going to.
Don't even. Okay.
Huge.
Images are a very significant factor.
Part of a website, you know, in a marketing angle, if you will.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things you can tweak that will have a little impact, but, you know, a ton of the things that you might read about in performance articles are compared to just compressing and reducing the size of your images or reducing the number of images on your page. It's like, I don't know, waxing your car to get better gas mileage or something.
Right.
Like little things that have absolutely minimal impact,
right?
Like almost immeasurable.
Right. Impact. I mean, images is number step one. Step two is really, you know, a better host, better server,
right?
CDN.
Yes.
I mean, you know, those like are that. The. And I think we might have talked about this, or maybe I did on my other show, or maybe you have. But there are other things to do. It's not just image optimization. That's a piece of the puzzle.
But you really start there.
Start there, because you can shave off a lot. I mean, if you have a 4 megabyte image on the homepage and a slider, and then the slider.
Oh. Amen. Oh,
that's ridiculous.
That's outrageous.
Right. So start with the images, and then run the tests. Beyond that, then add caching. Beyond that, add a CDN. Beyond that, you know, give up.
I think if you want a plugin that's extremely helpful, WP Offload S3.
Oh, right.
Is great.
Delicious Brains?
Yeah, Delicious Brains. The people who brought you MigrateDB Pro.
Right.
Made a plugin for offloading all your images to Amazon S3.
Is that a premium plugin, though?
It is.
And do you have to pay for Amazon part of that, too? The part of the pipe? I mean, so it's a premium plugin, which is a one-time plus ongoing support.
Right.
But then you pay Amazon, but it's like pennies on the dollar.
It's pretty affordable and easy to scale for based on your
needs.
Volume.
And honestly, it's an investment. And if it's part of your business, it's not an expense. It's an investment.
It's a pretty small investment, at the end of the day.
Right.
But
that's a great option. Honestly, that's the option of the day.
There you go.
Boom. Up top.
Boom.
That's right. It's a high five.
High five.
We're in person. That's fun to do.
Yeah.
All right. I think we answered all three questions pretty well.
We crushed it, man.
We did. You want to wrap it up here?
Yeah. If you want us to answer your questions on a future episode, you just need to let us know. Simply go to getoptionspodcast.com, fill out our contact form or the SpeakPipe, and we will play your voicemail on the show. Or you can send an email directly to questions@getoptionspodcast.com. My name is Kyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Kyle Maurer. Adam?
I'm Adam Silver. I'm at Hey Adam Silver on Twitter and over at kitchensinkwp.com. Thanks. We'll see you next week.